Amen. That's exactly the right thing to do, isn't it? Let the potter mold you into what he designed you to be in the first place. In the very first place. So today, we're going to be talking about a name change. And I was reading this week one of my devotions, and the writer was talking about, he saw a title of a book called Be Like Jesus. He said the person had the book, and they were on an airplane, and he saw the book on their lap, Be Like Jesus, and he thought, wow, that's a really good thing to think about, being like Jesus. Plane landed, and the passenger with the book got up, shoved his way through the crowd, snatched his bag down, and was about knocking people down, getting off the airplane. He thought, wow, I don't think that looks much like Jesus. And so it got me to thinking, should we all be like Jesus? The answer, of course, is yes. We should all be like Jesus. But if we're all being like Jesus, how is it possible for us to do that? Well, look with me to our text today. It's 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. And this is what it says. It says, so how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, or we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So, children of God. That text, that passage says he calls us children of God. So if he calls us children of God, he has changed our name. Our name is no longer what it was before, but our name is child of God. We have a new name. When you accept Jesus, God changes your name to child of God. Well, why would he do that? Because you now belong to him. You're his. You are a child of God. Well, preacher, isn't everybody a child of God? I mean, didn't he make all the people? Yeah, he did make all the people. But those who have not accepted him, he does not call a child of God. Yes, he accepted them. I mean, he made them, and he has, it's out there. He's given Jesus so that every person can accept him as their Lord and Savior. But until they do, he doesn't call them a child of God because they haven't made that decision. He gave them free will to make the decision to follow him. When he does, when she does, whomever it is, then they become a child of God. It changes them. They're no longer the same. That person, once they accept Jesus, they are no longer the same. The old passes away and the new rises up. So when we think about this, we've been talking about, and on Wednesday night, we've been talking about a man named Jacob. We talked about a man named Jacob. Well, as we talked about him, we found out that God changed Jacob to Israel. He changed his name. God said, you'll no longer be called Jacob, which, you know, Jacob was the deceiver. That's what that meant. So you'll no longer be called Jacob. Instead, you're going to be called Israel, friend of God. You are going to be the one who does what I call you. This covenant that I have given you and your family will come through you, and you will see it happen. All of this is coming through you. Your name has been changed. You are no longer the person that you were, but now you're new. You're different. You're no longer the same. We don't think about it as strongly these days because we don't put as much emphasis on names as they did in the Old Testament. The Old Testament, your name said as much about you as you did. Whatever name that you had, it was very important. And so when people had names and God changed their names, which he did multiple times throughout Scripture, as he called them to serve him, he changed their name. We think about Simon Peter. You're no longer going to be called Simon. Now you'll be called Peter. He changed it. We look at all the different ones that God has done that to across the scriptures, and we see that God said, you're no longer going to be this, you'll be that. And he had something for them. He changed our name. Not only the name changes, but also the person. You understand, when someone accepts Jesus Christ and the Lord comes into their heart, they cannot be the same person that they used to be. The problem is, just like Jacob in the Old Testament, sometimes they try. They accept Jesus and they say, okay, I'm going to change and I'm going to be something different. Our name changes, but I still have this yearning for whatever I had prior to that. I'm still fighting God. I'm still trying to do these things in the old way that I used to do them. But not only the name changes, the person changes. And when the person changes for God, for a purpose. God has something for you. Why are we fighting that? Why do we fight what God has for us? If God is trying to direct us, he's gone to the lengths of sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. He has given us brand new life, and yet we're still fighting him. Why are we doing that? We're fighting that change. God changed our name. We're no longer the same. Why do we not just submit to God? But we fight it on and on and on. Our name becomes child of God. Why? Because we are. That's what the scripture said. Our name becomes child of God because now we are a child of God. We are no longer a child of the world. We are no longer a child of our own. We are now a child of God. We belong to him. In the Old Testament, most of the time when you read the names, you read the names and it says, of so-and-so. This is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. This is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. It was important for people to know what your heritage was, who, what family you belonged to. They wanted to know, who are you? Well, we could introduce ourselves. I'm George, son of God. Whoa, that sounds kind of crazy. It's true. Scripture says we become children of God. You understand, if you think about this, if we become children of God, when we have accepted him, then God places us on the same level as his son, Jesus. Come on now, Pastor, that's a little out there. I mean, that we can't be equal up there with Jesus. We have the same power in us that he has, if we call upon it, because he has the power of God. We have the power of God. He is the son of God. We are a son of God. Now, understand, that's Jesus in the human form. Jesus in the spiritual form is on the same level with God. But we are children of God. And so when we think about this and our name becomes child of God, it's because we are. Many people, including myself, sometimes struggle with their own self-worth, their own ideals of who they are in the world. You know, I could never be like this person. I'm just not that good. I'm this, but I can't ever be. I'm limited by this. I'm not that great of an athlete. I'm not that great of a speaker. I'm not that great of a whatever it is. And so we put that limit on ourselves and we say, you know, I'm just mediocre. I don't have that that self-worth. I don't think I'm that good. And when we do that, what we're really saying is God can't break through that wall. This is as far as I can go. I can't be used any more than this. There was a man that, when he came to know Jesus, he was overwhelmed that Jesus would even accept him. And he thought he would never really amount to anything. He was just glad that God had given him salvation. God began to work on him, and he began to use him. And you probably have heard of him. His name is Billy Graham. Billy Graham thought he was never going to be anything. God took what he had, and he said, no, you're mine now. You belong to me. I'm going to put you where I want you. I'm going to use you how I want you. Do you know that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water? Now, Peter couldn't do that. He had, in his own power, he couldn't do that. But as long as he was keeping his eyes on Jesus and he had that power of God in him, he was able to step out and walk on the water. There are people all around the world who limit themselves and say, I can't do any more than this because I'm not that good. Okay, understand, you're right. But God is. And when you become a child of God, you don't have those limitations. God can do whatever with you that he chooses to do. You can go where he chooses to send you, even though you're terrified. You can speak his truths to people that you weren't sure you would ever be able to talk to. You can live your life in a way that other people will see Jesus, not worrying about what's going to happen to you if you do. When you are a child of God and you're called a child of God, you are a child of God. This means the world no longer knows us. What do I mean by that? The world no longer knows us because they didn't know him. The world didn't accept him. Even his own people didn't accept him. The Jews didn't even accept him. They didn't know him. They didn't understand him. They called him all sorts of things. He's a prophet. He's a magician. He does all these different things. He's a good teacher. But they didn't know him. The world didn't know who he was. The world didn't accept him. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't trust him. They look at him and he is outside of what they want to see. When we change our name, when God changes our name to child of God, then we become his. When we become his, we are no longer of the world, we are of God. Yes, we are in the world, but not of the world. We belong to Jesus. Our name has changed. We are a child of God. So the world doesn't look at us the same. And because of that, some believers, once they've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, are too timid, too scared, too meek to go out and share the name of Jesus because they're afraid of how the world will accept that. I understand. When Jesus went out and told people the gospel, they killed him. They eventually killed Jesus because he was telling people the truth. You know why? Because the truth hurts. When people tell you the truth, the gospel truth, that if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're going to spend an eternity in hell, that hurts. When people hear what they're doing is not according to what God called them to do, that hurts. They get angry. But so many times it takes that hurt and that anger to break them down to the point for them to see they need Jesus. We're no longer the world. So the world doesn't see us like they used to see us because now we are a child of God. Our name has changed. When Jesus appears, we will be like him. What does that mean? When Jesus appears, we'll be like him. When Jesus appears, it will be clear that we are part of the kingdom of God. When Jesus appears, it will be clear that we will be like him. We will be able to walk with him, to do the things that he does. We will be part of the kingdom of God. We don't really know exactly right now what God wants, but we know eventually we're going to be just like Jesus. But there's a journey between the time you accept Jesus and the time you get to that God wants to keep bringing you on. He wants to keep strengthening you. He wants to keep using you. He wants to keep showing you. You can be used for more than that. Every seminary student has to go through a public speaking class. It's amazing to watch someone who is afraid to stand in front of 10 people and speak. It's 10 people. They're all your classmates. They all are going to have to do this same thing. And yet people would try to get up and speak in front of 10 folks and they can't get the words out. They're terrified. They can't do it. The professor would ask them, have you prayed about it? Have a seat, pray about it, next person come up. Next time they come up, all of a sudden, they do it. It's not eloquent, it's not perfect, it's not something they've been doing for a long time, but they're able to get through it. Why? Because they gave it to God, and God had a purpose for them. He called them to go to seminary in the first place. He called them to be in His service. And so He needs them to be able to speak. I love to sing. I'm not a great singer, but I love to sing. Sometimes I'm accused of singing in the wrong key when I get up to sing. And I tell them, I only have these keys. I don't know which one I'm supposed to use. I don't know anything about that, but I like to sing. And sometimes they let me sing. First time I sang, I was a youth minister. First time I sang a solo, really, congregation, small congregation, wasn't a big congregation. I'm practicing with nobody there but the choir. What do we have, 10 people maybe? I pick up the microphone and I go, and I'm trying to sing. I could stand in front. I stood in front of one of the first sermons that I ever preached to a church. I stood in front of a congregation of about 700 people and preached and never got nervous. Didn't bother me one bit. I stepped up in front of a small crowd of people with a microphone in my hand to sing, and I couldn't hold the microphone still with two hands. It was terrifying. But then I believed that I was supposed to sing that song. I kept praying, I kept working. Eventually, I got through it. God has a journey for us. Sometimes that journey starts out a little rocky. Sometimes we're not sure. We think we don't have what it takes, and we don't without Him. But are we willing to follow Him? He changed our name because He changed who we are. We're no longer what we thought we were. We now are children of God. So are you willing to take that journey, to walk through that hard stuff? Or are you satisfied to just go, well, that's just not me. We are sons of God just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. And I know that sounds like an amazing thing to say. But it's very true. We are sons and daughters of God just like Jesus. Why does He change our name? Our name changes because we change. He changed us. He came into our heart. He made us who we are. We no longer walk in the ways of the world, but now we are to walk in the ways of God. If we're to walk in the ways of God, then number one, we need to know what those ways are. We need to have that relationship with Him. We need to be giving our life to Him. We need to be seeking what it is He wants us to do. Most of the people that I've ever talked to that went to be a missionary said they never in their life ever thought that they would leave the United States of America. And they got called to be a missionary in some places that they didn't even know existed. They had to learn new languages, new cultures, all these things, and go. And some of them had young families that went with them, and they thought this would never happen. But when God called them and He changed their name, He said, okay, this is the mission I have for you. And they submitted. I always wonder how many people God said, this is the mission that I have for you, and they said, can't do it. I just can't. I just can't do that. Well, the mission I have for you is I want you to go down into the inner cities and I want you to share the gospel of Christ. I can't do that. I'm too afraid. The mission I have for you is to go next door and talk to your neighbor. I can't do that. I don't get along with that person. The mission I have for you is to talk to your brother or your sister or your parents. No, but they'll hate me if I try to talk to them like that. I just can't do that. How many times has God said, this is why I saved you? You're now my child. I'm giving you this mission. I'm going to give you everything you need to accomplish this. How many times do we say, I just can't do it? First time I ever played baseball, I didn't know how to throw the ball. Somebody showed me. The first few times I threw it, it was terrible. But the more I threw it, the better I got. I was pretty okay at baseball. First time I ever did a play, I was terrified. I won't be able to remember all those words, but I kept working at it. Eventually, I could remember all the words. First play I was in, they said, we want you to do this part. I reluctantly said, okay, I was just going to be a narrator. I didn't want to do a part. No, we want you to do this part. I said, okay, I'll do the part. So they handed me like, I think it was four or five pages of single space tight lines that I had to memorize. And I had a monologue. Nobody else was even going to be on the stage for me to talk to. It was just me. I said, there's no way you're going to put this on the screen, right? I can't memorize all this. No, you can do it. You got 2 months, you can do that. I look like an idiot driving down the road every morning talking to myself. But I was reading the lines. I was memorizing the lines. Eventually, when I did the play, I memorized the lines. The point that I'm making in this is not anything about me, but it's about this. Are you willing to even try? If God called you as a child of God, and He says, I have a mission for you, and He puts something in your heart, and you just say, no, why are you not even willing to try? God changed your name because He changed who you are. He made you a child of God, and if you're a child of God, you have the same power as the child known as Jesus. If you have that power of God that He places in you, then there's nothing that He calls you to do that you can't do. But yet every single time that He calls people, many people just say, I can't do that. I'm not willing to try it. I can't do it. When we change, the world notices. There's something different about you. Maybe you didn't even talk about Jesus, but they know there's something different. They can see it. I was talking to Don yesterday, and he was talking about shaving his beard at some point, and nobody even noticed. He said, I shaved off the beard, and nobody even noticed that I shaved it off. The people that saw me every day, they didn't say a word. They didn't even notice anything. Eventually, somebody goes, hey, you shaved your beard. He's like, yeah, weeks ago. They finally noticed. But when God changes your name, people notice. They see something different. They notice right away. There's something different about you. They maybe don't know what it is, but they notice there's something. And if you keep living for God and doing the things that you're supposed to, they begin to see what it is. And for many, they're like, you're very different. You have a sense of accomplishment. You have a sense of, you don't have the fear that you had before. You have... it's like you just know you can do these things. Yeah, because God's given me the power to do that. They begin to see the things that change in you. The problem is, do you change? Do you notice? Do you see what God's doing? Do you accept what it is that He's trying to do with you? Think about this. Many of you in this room probably accepted Jesus as a young child. Probably accepted Jesus as a young child. Most of us that accept Jesus as a young child, you know what the first thing we do? We can't wait to tell everybody. We tell our parents, call our grandparents, we tell people at school, we tell our friends, we tell everybody all about, hey, I got saved this weekend. I'm getting baptized. I'm excited because now I know Jesus. But as time goes on, that excitement begins to dwindle. And sometimes it feels like a chore. And other people don't see the changes in you anymore. When we have a change, God calls us children of God. We become children of God. Our name changes to children of God. The world should notice. And that should never change. Should never change. That should never come to a point where people do not know by talking to you that you are a child of God. I've told you about this before. When I was in the military, I allowed myself to try to straddle the world and God at the same time. My language was not indicative of a child of God. It was more of a child of the world. And as I spoke to people, nobody thought much about it. Everybody seemed to talk that way. One day I invited some of my unit members to a church event that was going on. Hey, we're having this so-and-so at church. You should come. And somebody looked at me and said, you go to church? It destroyed me. I was a child of God. And I was walking in the world. And nobody knew that I was a child of God. Because I did not walk like a child of God is supposed to. I tried to walk in my own way. We've been talking about Jacob and all the things that he did. And God told him to go this way and he went that way. God told him to do this and he did that. All of the things that he was doing. And all of that time that he was doing that, he wasn't accomplishing what God had for him. But you know what the amazing thing about Jacob and about me was? That even though I was going in the wrong direction and doing the wrong things and not doing at all what God was calling me to do, I was still a child of God and he still was calling me back. He was still standing right there waiting for me to come back. He was waiting for me to come back to him. He didn't leave, I did. He still forgave me. I was still his child. Even though I went in the wrong directions, I was still his. People get to those places and they look and they say, I've messed up so bad, there's no way that God will welcome me back. You're still his child. Those of you who are parents, think about it. If your child does things that you don't want them to do and they disappoint you, when they come back, they say, I'm sorry. What do? You give them a big old hug and tell them it's okay. If they come back, even if they hadn't said, I'm sorry, you say, you know what? I know you've messed up, you've done those things, but I still love you. And I'll always be here for you. If we as human beings are able to love like that, don't you think God loves even greater than that? There's nothing we can do to separate ourselves from God. The scripture says, nothing can take you out of his hand if you know him. Just like Jacob in Genesis, we sometimes don't act like our name. Our name is child of God. Sometimes we don't act like it. Sometimes we act like we are lost as everybody else. Sometimes we act like we don't know Jesus at all. So what do we do about it? You come back to Jesus. Jacob came back to the place where he met God. And God began to use him in the way he was supposed to. I came back. I said, God, I don't want to act like that anymore. I don't want to talk like that anymore. I don't want to do those things. I want people to know who you are. You know what? All that long after that happened, God started calling me to ministry. You know, I was so excited, I said, absolutely, yes. Except I didn't do that. I said, you got the wrong guy. Can't be me. I had told God, God, I don't want to be that way. I want to follow you. I want to do what you call me to do. I want to go where you lead. God says, okay, I want you to be in vocational ministry for me. And I said, whoa, that can't be right. You see, that's part of our problem as believers in Christ, as we believe, but when he calls us to do something that is not comfortable, we say, hold on, we don't want to do that. Are we in? If we're in, then we should be in. Look at verse 3 again. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. What do I mean by that? Everyone who has this hope, every person who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, we, A, should have our eyes fixed on him. Because we have our eyes fixed on him, we should be purifying ourselves on a daily basis. We should be purifying ourselves on a daily basis. What do you mean by that, purifying ourselves? Take a look at your walk. Take a look at your days. What are you doing with your life? Are you living your life in a way that's pleasing to God? Are you doing things that are right? Are you following him? Are you taking that next step when he calls you to? Are you still praying for your one? Are you mentoring anybody? Is there someone you know that's a young believer? Are you mentoring them? Are you trying to talk to them? Are you trying to help them grow in Christ? What are you doing? What are we doing for Jesus? If we are children of God, then we're called to serve Him. And if we're called to serve Him, then what are we doing? If we're not serving Him, we're not doing anything. Well, I come to church every Sunday. Okay. I'm glad. I'm very excited that you come to church every Sunday. But what are you doing between Sundays? Because serving God isn't a once a week thing. Are you talking to anybody? Are you living your life so others can see Him? Are you looking for opportunities to share the gospel? It's believed that on a weekly basis, every believer has an opportunity, at least one, in their life where they could share the gospel of Jesus Christ if they open their eyes to it. But what happens is we put the blinders on, we go about our business and we do our things, and we don't pay attention to those things that are around us. Perhaps there's someone over here that God is saying, you can talk to them. They need to hear about Jesus, but you don't see them. Maybe there's somebody over here, but you don't see them. We're not opening our eyes and trying to live like Jesus. We're not trying to be like Him. Instead, we just keep our head down, do our job, and we're done. If you ever watch crime shows, some terrible crime happens, and the police go, and there's 40 people standing around. And they go talk to all those people, and they say, well, what happened? I didn't see nothing. I didn't see nothing. I didn't see nothing. And a lot of them didn't see anything. Why? Because as soon as anything started to happen, I didn't see nothing. Why? They didn't want to see it. They turned away from it. They looked away because I don't want to see what's going on, because then I might have to get involved. Brothers and sisters, God wants you involved. And when we see something happening, instead of turning around and going, I didn't see it, I didn't see it, we need to be looking towards it and going, how can I share the gospel with this person? How can I help them? Maybe they just need an encouraging word today. Maybe they're having a rough time and they need $20 in gas money. And just you being helpful enough to do that helps them to see the love of God. Maybe there's some other thing you need to sit down and actually share the gospel with them. Whatever it is, you don't know if you're not paying attention. If we're called to be children of God, God changes our name, He gives us a mission, and we need to walk like children of God. We don't need to turn around and walk back like George or whoever else that it might be. Everyone who has this hope, you know what they do? They purify themselves. How do I purify myself? Well, think about it like this. If I got a glass full of dirty water, right, there's two ways I can purify it. I can take that dirty water and I can dump it out. I can refill the glass. That's one way. Or I can take that dirty water and I can start pouring the pure water in, and eventually it flushes all that dirty water out. But both ways take the clean, pure stuff going in order to get the old, dirty stuff out. Every day, how do you purify yourself? Spend that time with God. Call upon Him. Ask Him what you need to do. Be studying His Word. Be praying. Take that time. The average person sits and watches hours of television every day, every night. And what are we doing with that television? We're pouring in something. What if we spent more time with Jesus than we did with that? What if we made sure that the first thing we did was fill up with Him? Every morning when we wake up, He opened our eyes. Thank you, God. You've opened my eyes again today. I love you, God. You're the greatest. You're greater than everything else. Today I want to be filled with the Spirit. And then walk, purifying yourself every day. Follow Him. Walk with Him. Purify yourself just as He is pure. So the question I have for you is this. Has your name changed during your life? Has your name changed during your life? Has there been a point in time where you gave your life to Christ? Has your name changed from what it was to child of God? Has that happened? You see, I would love to be able to look out at the crowd and just automatically know, yeah, no. I would love to be able to do that, because then all those no's, I would be spending a lot of time with them. Let me tell you about Jesus, since you don't know him. But I don't know that. I can't see that. Only God can. You know. That's the reality. You know. Sometimes we say, well, I hope nobody else notices. I don't want people to know that I don't really know Jesus. I just keep going in there, so, you know, maybe if I get around it enough, it'll wear off on me. It don't work that way. You know if you know him or you don't. You know if your life has changed. You know if your name has changed. Only you do. But have you considered that even? Or instead, are you just going through the motions, trying to be here, as I said, so that maybe if you come in here enough, you'll just pick it up. If you come in here enough, you'll just start to walk like you're supposed to. Doesn't happen. You must have that moment when you give your life to Christ and you become a child of God, and you are called child of God by him. That has to happen. So has that ever happened? Has your name ever changed? Are you a child of the King today? Do you know that? If you don't know that, then you haven't looked. You haven't checked yourself out. Most likely, not a single person ever gets up in the morning and leaves the house without looking in the mirror. Why? Because I need to look in the mirror and see, make sure my hair's not like this and my clothes are not all backwards or whatever. I got to look in the mirror and make sure everything's good before I go out. God is your spiritual mirror. We need to be looking to him and going, okay, God, what's out of place? What do I need to purify? What do I need to fix? What do I need to let you fix? Okay, I'm ready. Go with me as I go from this place. If you've never given your life to Christ, have you checked it out? Have you checked yourself to see if you know him? If you say, I don't know him. I know I don't know him. That's why I'm here. I'm trying to find out what I'm supposed to do because I know there's something not right in my life. Well, then there's this question. Do you need a name change today? Do you need a name change today? You see, if you came here today...